Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Well, this sucks. But where are we connecting with you today? You're out in Ontario.
I am. Yes, I'm in Southern Ontario, sitting in my office looking out the window on a rainy, crappy day.
Oh, you don't want me to tell you what the weather is here.
Nope. You just don't even go there. I can imagine. No, it's the grass is green, the birds are singing, but it's cloudy and it's kind of misty out, and it's not a horrible day. It would be a beautiful hunting day for sure. And yeah, but the sun is not out like I'm sure it is over there.
Yeah, it is. No snow out there, so I think I like that. So Amanda, I know a lot of people already know who you are out here. You're definitely well recognized, but maybe you can just give a brief introduction to yourself. You know, maybe just give us the elevator pitch on who you are.
Elevator pitch on who I am. Amanda Lynn Mayhew, host of That Hunting Girl on Sportsman Channel and creator and founder of Just Hunt Incorporated and Trailblazing the Outdoors, previously known as Women of the Outdoors, and all the outreach programs, including Range Days, Take Me Hunting, Take Me Fishing, and Take Me Off-Roading.
So tell me a bit what it was like growing up.
I was born and raised hunting and fishing in Northern Ontario. My dad was the hunter. My mom was the angler. And me and my sister followed them around and learned everything we could. We spent our summers camping all summer, and it was awesome.
Yeah. So your dad was the one who got you into hunting?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yep, big, was he a big hunter, or he just hunted for, or is he just a sustenance hunter?
I don't know. He just, hunting season would open and he would go. If rabbit was open, him and his buddy went rabbit hunting. If grouse was open, he went grouse hunting. If moose was open, he went and got us a moose and bear. And so just putting meat in the freezer and having fun and being in the outdoors and making memories. Like I can remember, oh my God, I can remember way back when I was like 5 years old and went ice fishing with him and how he would make lean-tos on the side of the lake and start a little fire and, you know, let us drive around on the skidoos.
Yeah. So he was a big outdoorsman.
Very. Yeah, absolutely. It was way more fun being outside than being inside, especially where we grew up. So for sure.
It's definitely funny how the times have changed, eh? I remember what it was like when we grew up, you know, we were just outside all the time. We didn't have access to cell phones, Xboxes, and all this technology kids have access today. But my dad,
I had a Gentari system.
Oh, did you?
I still have it.
That thing's probably worth a fortune. I'd hold on to that.
Do you remember the game where you'd be like a cowboy and there'd be another cowboy and you'd take your gun out and you would shoot him and like pieces of blocks would come flying off the other cowboy until he disappeared?
Sort
of.
It
was a great game.
Yeah, my friends had, they had the game consoles. We never got one. So, but I had two younger brothers and some sticks to beat each other with. So that was our
story. Oh, that was always fun too.
The younger brother, he always lost that game.
Oh my God, that's great. That's great.
Luckily he forgets all that because he's bigger than I am now.
Oh yeah, good thing.
So what did you do before you got into hunting on television?
Hunting not on television. I've done lots of things. I I've been a fitness bodybuilder, had a fitness magazine, had my own advertising company. I did gun sales. I used to work behind the gun counter at a store in Waterloo, Ontario, Shooter's Choice. I sold guns for a number of years. I worked for the province and the, what did I do? Government consumer, so Service Ontario. I sold hunting licenses, did MTO stuff, health cards, and then moved to Ministry of Natural Resources and odd other jobs. But for the most part, I raised three boys as a single mom. They're all older now and have their own families. And I went to SHOT Show in 2016 and sat down with the boys from Wild TV, and they talked me into this project that they were doing called Canada Hunt. And I was like, no, I don't want to be on TV. And they're like, oh, come on, just try it. All you have to do is Just Hunt. And I had already created the brand Just Hunt probably about 10 years previous to that. And I just used it and made t-shirts and did my, you know, my thing in the bush and hunting as time went on, just as who I was. It was never really a big deal made of it. And then I said, okay, yeah, let's try it. When they told me all I had to do was just hunt, and they would send the cameraman and I could just be myself, I said, sure, let's give it a go. And it became very successful. And actually, the very first episode was filmed after the spring bear hunt had been canceled for 17 years. And so this was the first spring bear hunt in Ontario in 17 years. And to back up just a little bit more, my mom is and was my best friend, and I called her from SHOT Show and told her what was going on, and she just thought it was so exciting that her little girl was going to be on TV. I didn't really agree with her, but she thought it was great, and she was going to come with me back to our hometown because my parents had previously moved from there to film the show. And 6 weeks before we were due to be on quote unquote set, she passed away. So it kind of set the tone for the whole entire first season and since then. So where I had no really no idea what to expect from this whole project and how it was going to go and how I would be on TV and who, you know, like how the audience would take me, I realized that in that span of time from losing and dealing with losing my mom, and 6 weeks later going on my first spring bear hunt, like pretty much ever, was that I had to figure out how I was going to be, how I was going to handle it, and if I could come across the way that would make her proud or make my parents proud. And it set the tone for the whole, for everything that it is now. And I just, with everything that I do, whether it's designing a new sweater or going on a hunt or filming the hunt or mentoring someone else, I always keep in mind in the back of my head, my parents, what they would say, how they would react and how they would, you know, support or educate or whatever. So that goes in with everything that I do now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in 2016, there wasn't a lot of women in the hunting television industry, was there?
No, there was none.
None. Yeah. I mean, was this challenge? Go ahead.
You would have like the couples that were on TV, yeah, but not a single. Yeah.
That's a big obstacle. I mean, that's, you know, that's, there's a lot of challenges being a woman entering sort of a sportsman's, I say that with quotations, world, so to speak.
I never thought of it that way though.
Yeah.
Ever since I was little, I was always a hunter, and I my best friends are guys.
Right.
And I know people say this, I know people say it's a male dominated world, and what was it like being the only female at the time on television, and the only, you know, in that I'm still breaking barriers, and it's awesome, and I am, you know, like, but it's just who I am. Like, it's just me. I'm not out there with a Thor hammer saying I'm gonna bust you down because I'm a girl. Like, that's not the case. It's just I happen to be a girl, and that's what I happen to do. And
yeah, well, I mean, the narrative surrounding women in hunting TV, it's definitely changed a lot over the last since you first got into the industry. I mean, that definitely has to be attributed to the exploits of yourself and other champions in the industry. I know, you know, you were one of the first ones, but you weren't the only one. Around that time, I think there was a couple other females who were kind of breaking into the industry. It's not so much a man's world anymore. I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of gender equality in the industry, and especially on television. And yourself, do you think there's areas still that could be improved on, or do you?
I think it's pretty equal. I think that it doesn't matter if you're a female or a male, if you're willing to do the job and you're going to work hard at it, that it's for anybody. And I think you put on Sportsman Channel or whatever, the Outdoors Network, and I think that there's a great balance of awesome outdoor shows. There's always new and upcoming shows, the younger generation getting involved, and you know, I think it has a great combination. And yeah, I mean, and there's more and more girls getting out there, and I know it because I'm there, and I'm, you know, I answer questions and I talk to people and I help mentor new hunters getting out there, and they want to get involved in the social aspect of it too, and get on TV. And I think it's incredible.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, your passions are your passions. I agree with you 100%. Doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man, if you're passionate about something, that's, it's going to be evident in how you pursue it. I have a daughter and two sons, and my daughter's passion for archery outweighs both of my boys put together. So, and again, this is evidence when she's shooting. And when people watch you on TV, again, I mean, I might sound like a broken record. It's definitely intrinsic, and regardless if it's illustrated by a man or a woman, this is what people are drawn to.
I totally agree. And that's a lot of feedback that I get. And this season, I don't know if you've been watching, but it's been a pretty... It's been pretty interesting. We're on, I think this Monday coming up will be the fourth new episode that was produced in 2020. And given the fact that 2020 was kind of a very strange year, and I did a lot of stuff by myself, I feel that 22 days on my turkey hunt, which was the first episode this year, I may have lost my mind a little bit just filming and hunting by myself for as long as I did those 22 days. And the fact that I got to get out in the world and actually see somebody after that, we made some pretty, I mean, the hunt itself was serious, but the show was a little bit more on the silly side. So a lot of feedback that I'm getting is like, wow, you know, Amanda, I love your show. It's educational. It's fun. You're not just sitting in one spot waiting for something to come in. You're going out, you're doing other things. You're laughing and you know, my kids love watching it with me, and it's not, you know, and that feels really good, because who you see on TV, that's who I am.
You're not acting. That's just, you know, it's who you are, and you're showing that. And yeah, the viewers can definitely get on board with that. That's cool. So 22 days for a turkey hunt.
I did. Crazy. Did you see that episode? No.
I haven't seen it yet, but we've got it on PVR. Unfortunately, I don't get to watch a lot of TV, but my daughter likes watching your show, so we kind of, when we get some time, we're going to watch it.
So a little bit, very brief background on that particular episode. So that April 25th, 2020, it was the opening day of turkey season, and it was just like maybe a month and a week after our lockdown started March 13th, when they canceled like the Toronto Sportsman Show and shut down all the shows across Canada. And I was like, I cannot wait to get out there. And from March 13th to like April 23rd, I was in my house. I didn't leave. My husband was the one that went and did, you know, the groceries once a week. And I was literally in my house. So on April 23rd, when I got to go out and just kind of peek around and see where the turkeys were at and scout, I was like, Merry frigging Christmas to me. I'm outside. I had so much fun just even scouting and, you know, making a little call and they're gobbling like crazy. And I was just super pumped to do the show. And I looked forward to every single day. And I actually didn't harvest the turkey. Sorry to spoil the show, but I didn't harvest the turkey, but I have the most incredible footage of turkeys. And I had turkeys every single day, except for one day in 22 days. And I went from 32 degrees to a massive snowstorm in the beginning of May, back to super hot weather. And I had turkeys in my ear, literally. I could have slapped them in the face, but I couldn't turn around and shoot them. It was probably the most incredible turkey season I've ever had. And I've had opening day doubleheaders. I've had opening day done in 12 minutes, you know, all those things. But I think that the length of this particular season and all the things that I got to experience after being closed in the house for so long was just magical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it still sounds like a fairly successful hunt outside.
I think it was successful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, looking back on all my hunts, some of the most memorable hunts ended up with me eating my tag.
Well, then you'll like the ending of that episode, so you'll have to watch it with your daughter.
Yeah. You guys have a bit of a lockdown out there again, don't you, in Ontario?
Oh, yeah, we're in lockdown. We're actually supposed to stay in our house today. We got a notice that we're supposed to stay in our homes for 48 hours. That's what we got. That's what we received today. It was a big kind of like a Amber Alert thing on our phones. And I think it was last week we got the stay home for, I think it's a 30 day lockdown where you have to stay home. But then today in our particular area, in the area we live in, not the province, we got to stay at home for 48 hours.
Was this affecting any of your hunts that you had planned?
No. Okay. So yes and no. So turkey, I do very locally. So local that it's behind my house.
Convenient.
But spring bear hunt will be in Northern Ontario, and it's basically, that won't be until June. So it's going to be kind of the same thing I did last year. I drive everywhere. I don't fly. I don't travel with other people.
Go ahead.
It killed a couple of hunts that I was going to do south of me. I was supposed to go to Tennessee and meet up with a girlfriend there, but in Canada, no, it hasn't affected it.
Luckily they didn't. Yeah. They didn't shut down any cross borders. Do you do a lot of hunting down in the States?
No.
Mostly in Canada.
Mostly in Canada. Yeah. So, New Brunswick and Alberta and Ontario are my most favorite or spots that are a habit of hunting in. I've been to Alberta three times, and the last 2 years have been consecutive for my elk hunt. And
BC? Have you made it out to BC yet?
So actually did a hunt in November of 2019, and I was up in Williams Lake area, where my grandfather used to be a moose guide. And that was interesting to find out. Yeah, I had no idea until I got there. And I do a lot of work with Coeur d'Alene. So Coeur d'Alene actually built my firearm that I've used for the last 2 years. They built me a 6.5 PRC. And so I do a lot of work with them.
Cool. So the spring bear hunt, that's one of your big ones?
I love it. Yep. It's kind of my solo hunt that I look forward to every year. And yeah, I'm excited to put.
So you do your filming. Do you do your filming yourself? Or do you have a camera?
I do.
Wow.
I do.
That's tough.
It's challenging, but I learned a lot from the camera guys that I worked with at Wild. So when I was at Wild, they would send me a camera person the first couple of seasons. And then because in Canada hunts, you only get 3 episodes. And then after the first 2 years of only having 3 episodes, they realized that the show was, you know, popular and people really liked watching it. So they gave me my first season, full season. And with that first full season, I had a cameraman for the first couple of episodes. And then we had a conversation and I said, why don't you just let me try to do it and capture it. I've taken so much in from all these professionals that let's just see what I can come up with. And I think I did an okay job. And yeah.
Let's see. Yeah.
So for what you see on TV in the last 2 or 3 years, I've had help from friends, ambassadors. I do have a cameraman on call when I do need him because it's hard to capture waterfowl hunts when you're self-filming or fishing. But for the most part, I do it on my own. Yes.
That's tough. That's a lot of work. All the editing and stuff, is that done by somebody else? Or do you do all that as well?
No, that would be insane.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, there's only so much time in a day.
Yes. And I have a clothing line and an outreach program and dogs and a farm and granddaughter. So no, I don't do the editing.
Tell me a bit about your outreach programs.
Oh my. So as far back as I can remember, people always ask me to take them hunting and I did. And in 20 something, I don't even remember the year, 2011, maybe, no, 2009, I don't know. People were asking me to teach them how to shoot firearms mostly. I wasn't into archery back then. So we created Range Days. And Range Days was a spot where you could come and learn, no license required, pistol, shotgun, rifle, and archery. And it went over so well that a lot of girls were coming back just to get a different experience at different ranges. And this one girl had said in 2017, Amanda, I have my licenses and I can shoot, but I don't have anyone to take me hunting. And I said, well, I'll take you hunting. And that's where it started. And so I had created a program that exists outside of an inside building. And it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday set up just like a hunt camp. You come in, you have your gear, everything you're going to need. We start with a grouse hunt, nice and easy. You can talk, we talk about the basics of chokes and shotguns and gauges. When we're out going on the actual hunt, we're talking about what to look for, what the birds are interested in eating, what the season, like the time of year it is, different trees, different tracks. We end up seeing different animals. We do some moose calling. We see bear scat, all these kinds of things that you would see on an actual hunt. I'm there to point these things out. So, since 2017, it's been an actual program and it's been very popular and accepted. And it's amazing to see the girls come out with me and then see them on their own, taking other people out like the following year, and it makes me smile and I love it. And it's exciting because
a great idea.
And we're learning and teaching and learning and teaching. Right. And that's how it should be. And I don't know everything. I just know what I know. And to be able to pass that. And I learn things from the girls that come in, it's a good combination of education. Well,
that mentorship is definitely key. I think that's lacking in a lot of the industry today, is just that, the lack of good mentorship or just mentorship. I had my dad, my cousins, my uncles, they're all into hunting and they had guns. We had guns around. So it was just second nature to us to know how to shoot a gun and all that stuff. And I know of a lot of people who want to get into hunting and they just don't have an outlet to get into hunting. So it's great that you're doing that. Now, is this only to girls or is it to like youth as well?
No. So I've done lots of stuff with youth as well. It's tricky. You have to be, cautious because the firearms licensing, hunting licenses, they can't actually harvest an animal until they're 12 with their hunting license. And so I like taking them out and they get to see the experience of how things go down and to be involved. Like if it's a waterfowl hunt, they're there, they're sitting on the sidelines, bird goes down, everyone, you know, safely puts their firearms away. They see that being done. They go out, they retrieve the birds, like stuff like that. And it's great to see the passion on the children's faces when they're like, oh my God, when I turn 12 and totally doing that. And so, yeah, we set up events like that so that the kids can get involved with their parents when they come out too, and also men. So I've had a lot of requests from men, and it's usually the demographic that was born and raised in the GTA area or London, or have they're a new Canadian. They want to learn how to hunt and in a safe manner, and they call me up and they say, hey, you know, like, what can we do? So I've been honored to be able to take some guys out, and it's cool, and they treat me with respect, and I don't, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Do your kids, do they hunt? I know they're all grown
Heck
up. And,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. I was a single mom, so if I was going in the bush, they were coming with me.
Yeah. Did you guys spend a lot of time out in the bush when they were
young?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. They learned to drive in the bush. They were sitting behind the wheel of the truck when they were like 9. They knew how to clean a shotgun and bake a cake by the time they were 10. And yeah, they're awesome boys. And my youngest taught me archery, and I taught him all about firearms. And yeah, it's they're so awesome kids. They're awesome.
So cool. When I Googled your name, a slogan came up, be real, be strong, be you.
Yes.
Where does that stem from?
I have Graves' disease, and I have had a rough go in everything that would have been my adult life. I was a young mom at 17. I've been through, you know, all kinds of different crap that anybody could go through. Bad relationships, financial issues, medical problems, all that stuff. And in the end, like my mom always said, just be yourself and be as strong as you can be, and be, just be real. Never pretend to be somebody that you're not. And I don't think I ever could be. I'm very transparent. And so be real, be strong, be you came from the Fitness Fanatic days when I had my own magazine and I started bodybuilding, and I had just been diagnosed with Graves' disease, and they put me on a whole bunch of pills, and the pills made me feel like crap. So I flushed them down the toilet. I saw a Chuck Norris commercial. I went to Walmart and bought the Total Gym. I started using it. I changed my life. And from there, I was just like, that's it. This is exactly, I'm going to live by these words every day. They're tattooed on me. They go with everything that I do, whether it's hunting, it doesn't matter what it is. And I live true to it, and other people believe in it, and I believe in it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so good. Now, Just Hunt mm-hmm. is, it's a little bit more than just a cool handle. When I'm looking on your webpage, you definitely find that it's multifaceted. Can you tell us a little bit of what's going on over your webpage over there? You've got, we kind of touched base on the outreach programs you have, but, what's Bear Strong?
That's another one. My mom knows that knew that I was just addicted to bear hunting, and it wasn't just so much pulling the trigger, but just watching them and seeing how they act and just, they're amazing creatures. And going back to Graves' disease and being strong, a bear has a lot of strength. And Bear Strong to me means that you can be as strong. It's inner strength in you. So you find your inner strength to accomplish the goals in life that you want. So it's just a very empowering phrase that, again, means a lot to different people in different ways. We had just lost one of our ambassadors' dads, and he had prostate cancer, for 15 years. And he lived every day by the words of Bear Strong. He had the hat, he wore it did not leave his side, and he believed in it. And he said that he always pulled his inner strength together to get by every day. So it's kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
He also, on your webpage, you got some clothing there for sale. You've got a link to your YouTube video.
Yes. YouTube channel. Yeah. That's doesn't really show a whole lot, just mostly teasers and trailers of the show, but we put the odd commercial on there and have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of cool stuff to poke around on your website. Hey, back to that topic of bears. You mentioned you're addicted to bear hunting. Now, they took the bear hunt away from you guys in Ontario for quite a while. It was 17 years. It was shut down.
Yeah, it did.
Nice to get it back. They're trying to shut the bear hunt down in BC right now, the black bear hunt.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually it's actually on a list of there's a few on their docket. They're targeting wolves, cougars, black bears, elk, and bighorn sheep right now.
To stop it.
Yeah.
To shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Horrible. So, the Wild Sheep Society, they put together a big campaign to try to fight it. So, but unfortunately right now, I think there was 105,000 resident tags sold in British Columbia last year. And right now there have less than 10,000 people on board with this initiative to stop this. But yeah.
Can people outside of the province help?
Ah, yes, absolutely. And the more this is talked about, the better. Yeah, I know Steve Ackland, he put in a word for the guys. I know you know Steve. He put in a word for that campaign. So, yeah, I like hearing when something's reintroduced, like the black bear hunt. It's good to see that. Because in 2017, our provincial government shut down a grizzly bear hunt as just part of a political promise. So, and unfortunately, it's had... You know, it's had a devastating impact on, you know, the guides of British Columbia and the trickle down effect from those guys losing that hunt. And not to mention, you know, the long-term effects on the other wildlife. So what I'm afraid of is that they're using this as a ploy. So they're going to put six of them, say, okay, well, listen, we're putting six on the table. We're only going to take two away. So you guys should be happy. So then.
Yeah.
So like. If they took away, say, the wolf and the black bear.
Wow.
And then
they changed
our
whole moose point system this year.
Oh, they did, eh?
Lots of different provinces are going through lots of different changes. And I know there's a reason behind change. And obviously life needs change because life changes. But I wish that hunting was as simple as it was back when I was growing up.
Oh, I remember going hunting with my dad and... He was just a moose hunter. He didn't care. He was just in it for the meat, right? So the first moose that he seen was the first one that got shot. So, but yeah, it's it's definitely a lot trickier today than it used to be. That's for sure. Unfortunately. So.
Yeah, I have my own opinions.
But anyway, I kind of got sidetracked there. But
yep,
anyway,
we're talking about
your webpage.
The Bear Strong, Just Hunt, what's all involved with Just Hunt, and it's not just a cool handle, it's a clothing line, it's a lifestyle, it's everything. I've been saying, people have made fun of me when I was a teenager, because they're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm just hunting. And it's all you do, Amanda, all you do is just hunt. I'm like, well,
just hunt.
Yeah.
So when you're planning your hunts, do you find you have to constantly keep up with what seems to be trending in the industry, or do you just kind of do your own thing and just let your passion drive your viewers?
I don't know what hunts are trending in the industry. I just do my own thing. Yeah, I don't. I do what I do because I love doing it. So I love my spring bear hunt. I do my moose hunt every year, no matter what, hands down. Don't care. Don't care if we don't get a moose. Don't care if we're going to area 27 or 52 or if it's snowing. I don't care. I'm going moose hunting. That's it. I do my deer hunt, my archery, my shotgun, my grouse hunt. I do it all. I do it all because I'm so excited to just go and do it. And I love all the meat. My kids love it. My dad doesn't get out anymore hunting, so I provide him with it. And yeah, it's all an adventure, and it's all who I am. And it is the morning of the day that I get in that truck and go for my wherever I'm going, I am the happiest person in the world. Just call me and you'll see.
What's your favorite animal to hunt?
Oh, that's so unfair. like I said, I love bear hunting. Bear hunting, you can't ask me that question because every animal is different. Bear hunting, it's a predator. The meat is amazing. They're unpredictable. I love watching them. You never know what you're going to get. Their personalities are incredible. But then I love elk hunting. I just started that. Now I am so addicted to elk hunting. Oh, my God, you should hear me bugle. And, you know, but I love moose hunting because it's a whole different ball game. You totally need a whole different type of strategy when you're moose hunting, whether you're as an individual or you're working with a group. And we've had the moose fellas for the last couple of years. So there's a group of us that go and do that. And the camaraderie of that versus how I moose hunted by myself for 30 plus years. And then, but I like wolf hunting. And, you know, how crazy is wolf hunting? This year I harvested a wolf and, you know, he wasn't even that far away from me. And it was just, it was the, you can't even explain it. You got to watch the show.
Okay. So,
and even, you know, all of them. I can't say favorite.
That's a tough question. How about what's your favorite style of hunting? I don't know if that one's any easier.
No, it's not fair. I like long distance and shotgun and archery. And yeah, I know you can't. I love everything that has to do with hunting. Everything. I think an easier question is what don't you like about hunting? And I don't even know if I can come up with
it. I don't think that is an easier question because I don't think there is anything not to like. Well, there is in the political world, in the political realm of hunting, there's quite a few things I don't like about hunting. But I mean, aside from getting out and actual hunting, I don't think there's anything not to love.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no, I love everything. If I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go, I might whine about it a little bit the night before because I'm having so much fun with who I'm hunting with that I don't want to go to bed, but I know I have to. And that's probably like the only thing I could ever complain about hunting is the 3 hours of sleep I have had the night before.
Yeah, I find spring turkey's tough on the sleep.
Right? I'm up before my husband. He's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. I spring turkey hunt about an hour and a half. It's about an hour and a half drive. Unfortunately, it's not in my backyard, so I have to drive an hour and a half. So my routine is I leave at 2, I go hunting till 6, and then I come back and go to work.
Oh, that's crappy. I'm sorry.
You know, there's been a few years where I've gotten a turkey on the first day and I thought, oh man, this is great. I don't have to get up anymore. But after about, you know, the season's 30 days and after about 5 days, you're like, man, now I don't get to turkey hunt anymore till next year. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
You only get one tag?
Yeah, we're only allowed one tag. So we're allowed to get two. Oh yeah, see, that's nice. We're allowed another bird in the fall, but I mean, it's tough. It's tough in the fall to concentrate on turkeys when you have moose and deer and elk and sheep and all the other fun stuff to chase around. So
I agree, because we have a turkey in the spring. We can only shoot a bearded turkey. We can get up to 2 tags, and it's April 25th to May 31st. And then in the fall, we have they just opened for the full month of October, where previously it was only 10 days in October during the moose hunt. So it was hard for people to be like, oh yeah, I'm totally going turkey hunting over moose hunting, because that wasn't going to happen. And so they've opened it up for the whole month and you can shoot either female or male now. So, but it's different turkey hunting in the fall. The whole strategy, the calling, everything is completely different.
Hmm. Yeah. And I think that calling is, for me anyway, the calling is when you, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, when you hear those birds garbling out of the roost, it's pretty unique for sure.
Oh, it's exciting. Yeah. Seriously, if you get a chance to watch my turkey episode with your daughter, you're gonna laugh. You just have a good laugh.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see it. What Do you have it? Can you give us a teaser for this upcoming season, what you're working on? What type of hunts you got planned?
Yes, I can. We have already accomplished the winter adventure, so that was waterfowl and ice fishing. Next up is turkey in a couple weeks, then the spring bear hunt in a fly-in camp, which will be exciting. We're actually doing a destination giveaway for somebody to come join us at the camp for a fishing adventure while we're there. You can find that on Sportsman Channel's website and also on the Just Hunt website. What else are we doing? We are doing some big Lake Ontario salmon fishing. We have Jason McCoy and a couple of other special country music guests joining us for some
On.
episodes. I'm back in Alberta elk hunting and going on a mule deer hunt with one of my good friends, Jeff Coyle, who you might know. And what else am I doing? Another wolf hunt. We have a take me hunting program, so a couple of waterfowl hunts. And my annual moose fellows hunt, and that's probably, oh, and we have a fall bear hunt. And
Oh.
actually, this past season that is, or this new season that's airing, last year, a 14-year-old ambassador of mine shot a over a 450-pound black bear, and this year is his mom's turn, so we're
Wow.
taking her up. Yeah.
Cool. Lots going on.
Lots going on, lots of fun.
Awesome.
Trailers on the website,
Okay.
actually, too.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm gonna put all I'll put links to all that up in the show notes here. So everybody will have access to it. But Amanda, it's been a blast chatting with you today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. I think I talked a lot.
It's never enough hearing from you. It's been a blast. I want to thank you again for taking a bit of time. I know you got a lot going on and you're a busy person, so I'm gonna let you get back to it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been fun, and it's been fun learning about you too. So that's great. And I keep doing what you're doing, and it's exciting that you're doing the things that are it's important. Everything that you have has a purpose. Everything you're doing has a purpose, and that's awesome. And that's really cool.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Okay, well, we'll talk again soon, and hopefully, maybe later on down the line, we can reconnect.
It's awesome. Thank you so much. Bye.
You believe that? Wow, I guess it's all worth it.